Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay in the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexity of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. And we want to start off by thanking all of our listeners from all over the world. We get wonderful letters from Australia, United Kingdom, Germany. I had one this week from South Africa. And that Misty and I are the lifeline that you wait for each week so that you can feel connected, even though we're all over the place. So good evening, everyone, and good evening, Misty. How are you?
I'm doing fabulous, Bonnie. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good.
How was your holiday?
It was very good. Spent with my family, and that's always nice. So it's nice to be in the mountains. You know, that's home for me. Florida's home, but the mountains are always home for me. So spent in the mountains with family, and it was good, very good. How about yourself? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was quiet, but, you know, like I say, I like to keep it low-key.
Yeah.
And that's how it was. So it worked out fine. It was nice to have a little time off to try to regroup. I think we all need a little regrouping time.
Absolutely.
And a few things I just wanted to mention before we get started. Next week I'm really excited because we're going to have one of our favorite guests back, Patsy Ray Dawson. And so many of our women have found Patsy so helpful in their own marriages and understanding why they need to end if they come from the Christian point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And Patsy is just so wonderful at explaining scripturally why women who are married to gay men don't have to stay in those marriages.
Absolutely.
And sometimes they just feel that they're given advice that, you know, you're in it, you have to stay in it. And I think you understand about that Christian view, right, Misty?
I was just getting ready to say, I wish I would have had someone like that to have gone to when I was going through my marriage, because it was horrible. It was horrible. And, you know, I just beat myself up on top of what I was getting from the ex-husband because I didn't know where to turn. And if I would just had someone that would have been so knowledgeable about the scripture and things, because I just felt like I was doing everything wrong because I was being told I was doing everything wrong. And finally, you know, I did develop my own relationship with God, which I encourage the women that do have hesitation and have such a horrible time just trying to figure it out and sort it out, untangle all of it. It was just so difficult, and if I would have had that support and that advice, wow, would that have been wonderful. So that's a great resource when she's on the show and the women get to hear her. I think it's fabulous. I think she just really can make things clear when you're living in such a cloudy world and not knowing where to turn or, you know, what to look at. And I think she can point some great things out for Christian women to where they can realize, you know, you deserve to move on, you know, you really do.
And what I'm really excited about is that, you know, I'm going to be speaking with Patsy tomorrow night and introducing her to our guest from last week's show, Deborah and Thomas Brown, who were, you know, with minority women, specializing in minority women who were in abusive situations or, you know, situations with women married to gay men. And she has her whole list of men on the down low on her website. And I'm just really excited about making this connection for the three of us because I think, with the three of us, we can reach so many women.
Absolutely. We need that in that minority sector because I have so few minority women that step forward, you know, and that concerns me because I know it's happening to them as well. And I think that's a great wink for the minority women out there that, you know, just need some support. That understands from their culture, from their standpoint, as, you know, as best as anyone can because she's going through the situation, you know. I think that's wonderful to have her on board.
Yeah, I think it would be a really good collaboration. And it just seems like a lot of things are wonderful falling in my lap lately. I met a new therapist, you know, wonderful guy who's in Tennessee. His name is Brian Hooper. And, you know, he's just is a wonderful man. He'll be on our show in a few weeks, hopefully also. And he works a lot with Christian couples and singles on why not to stay married. And, I mean, he has a really good point of view. And, you know, he also does it from the Christian point of view. He's just found, you know, the traditional Christian line doesn't work, but he found a church where, you know, it all makes sense. And, you know, like I say, he's right on target with us. And so I'm really excited that there'll be a new resource for our, you know, people who need counseling. And also, you know, he'll be somebody who's going to be on our show and also be a resource for us. So we're going to welcome Brian to our network also.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so I'm really excited that, like I say, other people are starting to find us, and we try to bring interesting programming to people so they don't get tired of hearing just from you and me, Misty.
How could they get tired of hearing from you and me?
I don't know, but someday they might.
I just don't think it's possible. Yeah, they may. They may, so I guess I should be open-minded here. Okay. So you do have some great resources lined up, and which is, I mean, it's just growing and growing and growing, and I'm so grateful for that because everyone, you know, not one single person can meet everyone's needs. So when you have a group of people, it's just amazing when you pull a group of people together for resources that they're great go-to people, you know, for what to do next, and you know, it's just a wonderful lineup of people.
Absolutely, and then you have your workshop coming up, right?
I do. I have another one coming up. It will be the Christmas Day falls on a Sunday, which is the 25th. So I'll be doing it the Sunday before, just like last time. And I'm sorry I don't have that date offhand. It'll be the Sunday before Christmas Day at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard. Okay, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For Gathering of Women, for anyone who's interested, they can email me at mistilynnhall@aol.com. Basically, it's like a sort of a version of a grief workshop getting through the holidays. It'd be very similar to what was done at Thanksgiving. It helps you make a plan and come together with other women with similar background. And it's very healing in and of itself. It's very helpful. It's always helpful to have a plan. When you come together, it seems to be easier to do so and follow through when you come together with such a wonderful group of women that have the same intentions. So I recommend that if you're having a difficult time or anticipate if you have a difficult time. And I say just go ahead and plan for it. You know, don't wait until the day to try to figure out something to do if you're depressed or fall into the trap of doing nothing if it makes you worse, you know, so.
Well, that's exactly what the theme of our show is for tonight, Misty, because one of our support group members, Dorothy, you know, she had gotten in touch with me and said that maybe we could give some tips tonight about, you know, how to get through the holidays. So, you know, there's a number of ways that I thought we could discuss tonight. So I have some tips that I would like to share with people and have you comment on them.
Absolutely.
If that's okay with you.
And
first, I found this really good article on Christmas as a divorced parent, tips for surviving Christmas as a divorced parent, because in many of our cases, for our women, they are now, you know, in that new category of being single mothers. So, you know, it's not just the divorce, it's also now being a single mother. And here are some tips from this article on the internet, and if you would like a copy of it, feel free to write to me, and I'll be happy to send it to you. One is that is to reach out to family and friends for support and make them a part of your Christmas celebration. You've heard the old saying, the more the merrier. It's true during the first post-divorce Christmas, the more people you are around, the better your mood will be. People are a great distraction from the past, and and if you do have a down moment, you'll be surrounded by people who love you and who can pull you out of your funk. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. I say pull in those people as much as you can, and not to a point to overwhelm yourself. I will add to that as to say I really wouldn't host a celebration. I would help someone else host it because you don't want all that burden put on yourself, which could take you in a downward spiral just getting overwhelmed. But then there's other people that when they're very anxious and get the anxiety going on, it helps them if they keep busy. So if you're that type of person and you're up for it, host something. But if you're not, don't host it. You know, ask someone else if they can host it and just help out. And I think it's wonderful to include lots of family and lots of friends and surround yourself with those people that love and care about you. and mingle, you know.
Well, of course, this is about your first, you know, post-divorce Christmas, and I agree with you. I think a lot of times your intentions are, if I keep too busy, then I won't have to think about things.
Mm-hmm.
But I just know for myself, you know, I lost my son, at, you know, 6 years ago this week. And, you know, he was 23 years old. So, it's a, you know, for me, Thanksgiving time is never a good week because that was when he had his, you know, last week. But, you know, I'll never forget that shortly thereafter it was a holiday. And, I, you know, every year we had a traditional party that, you know, my son just loved having, inviting all his friends. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to make it so wonderful. I'm going to have all his friends here. I'm going to buy presents for everyone, you know, because it was a tradition for, you know, years. He was 23 when he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And that year, you know, I shopped. I bought everything. I spent lots of money on food and invited all of his friends and family. And thinking that this is going to make it better because I won't have to deal with the whole situation, and it really did not make it better at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was so overwhelming that I was so sorry that I did it because
mm-hmm.
I wasn't ready for it.
Right.
So I think you have to really be ready for this kind of thing. And by the way, if you have any thoughts or questions that you would like to add to this, let me just give you our call-in number. Because sometimes our listeners have really good insight, too. And it's area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that one more time. Area code 646-716-4893. So I agree. I think it's better if you keep busy going to family and friends rather than having them surround you at all given times, you know, and having to entertain them and putting extra work on you. Now, the next one is something that you talk about a lot, Misty. The next tip is make new family traditions.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a certain Christmas music that's been the family favorite, change it. If you drive around on Christmas Eve looking at all the lights and decorations, instead stay home and bake sugar cookies. The idea is to shake things up, do something different. Any past seasonal behaviors that were once wonderful but now dredge up negative emotions can be done away with and replaced by new and exciting activities. What do you think about that?
I think that should be number one. That's the one that I have the most success with women that I work with, and I think it's
mm-hmm.
the most important thing you can do is change things up a bit. Whether it be, you know, host something or help someone host something, which involves a lot of work. You know, it really does. Think it through and don't get yourself overwhelmed. But one suggestion I make to people a lot, of course, this is if you can financially afford it, and if you can, you absolutely deserve this for yourself, I say make a completely new tradition. Travel during the holidays. There's lots of groups you can travel with. There are you know, maybe other family members that would want to go out of town. I mean, it works, you know. And work with women that'll go on a cruise for Christmas with other people or with their children. You know, of course, you're going to have permission to do so if you're having underage children from both parents. So, you know, it just changes things. If you're out of your regular surroundings and you're doing something different, number one, it can be exciting. And that excitement can balance out some of that grief, anger, whatever you're experiencing. And it really is helpful. Now, is it going to be a perfect trip? No. But is it going to change things up a bit? Absolutely. I think that's plan number one in my book. Change
and also,
up.
You did mention something last year that was so successful for several of our women who got back to us, so I'd just like to mention that. Last year when we were talking with our women, we were saying about changing up, and you brought up a wonderful idea about doing new, you know, doing it through arts, because, you know, art is where your heart is.
Absolutely.
I'm saying that about Misty, not me. I mean, Misty's heart is in art. She's very talented. I can't draw two lines that even go in the same direction, but Misty is an artist, and she suggested that, you know, these women go and buy some decorations, make new decorations, be creative.
Absolutely.
And one woman just loved doing this. She said it really distracted her family from their usual traditions of whatever they used to do, and it was really, you know, great time. The whole family could participate in it. You know, the kids were able to do it. So I think maybe you can talk a little bit about things like that and the activities, Misty.
I will. You know, the art stuff is so fun. You know, you can go to your local craft store, whatever that may be, and I suggest find them now because they sell out very early. You know, you can get the plaster ornaments, the ceramic ornaments, the wooden ornaments, and they're plain. They're like blank. And then you buy the acrylic paint and just a variety of colors. some paint brushes. I mean, you can do this for many, many people, you know, like $25, $30. It's not going to break the bank. And you can invite, you know, your children's friends over or whoever it is. And, you know, just lay a bunch of newspapers down on a table, get a bucket of water, put the paint brushes in it, put the paint out. It's so fun. It's a wonderful Christmas Eve holiday thing. It's a wonderful Christmas Day holiday thing. Even Hanukkah, you can find the Hanukkah ornaments. So whatever it is you celebrate, it's fun. It really is. And when you activate yourself, the parts of your brain for your that controls your creativity, it's really going to help release those feel-good chemicals, those endorphins and those things, because it activates different parts of your brain. Now, is it going to make you just everything, you know, happy, happy, joy, joy? Probably not, but is it going to help? Absolutely. It's just very healing. Artwork's very healing. It goes to a deep level, and it's just very healing. And actually, there's a word for it. It's called psychoneuroimmunology. Now, that's a mouthful, I know. But it's just proven when you activate those areas of your brain, it's your creative side. It can really alleviate some of the depression and some of the things you're going through. So, you know, go to your hobby store, whatever it is in your town, or your local craft store, buy up the ornaments and a few paint brushes, some acrylic paint, and just get started. It's so fun. And if you don't want to do that, for goodness sake, you can go gather pine cones and paint pine cones and sprinkle them with glitter. You know, there's so many different things you can do. Or go to your local library, check out a Christmas craft book, and just peruse through it, find a few projects, even if it's making something for birds, the little feathered friends on the outside, or making ornaments and delivering to a nursing home. You know, that's also very healing. Number one, you're making something. Number two, you're giving back. So that's like a double healing gift to yourself, because it's also very healing to give back. So absolutely, activate the creativity side. You know, I'm all about that, and you better shut me up now or I won't be quiet. I'll take the whole show. So I'll be quiet. I'll be quiet now.
Okay.
You've got me fired up. I'm fired
but,
up.
In addition, if you're just not into creativity, there are a lot of other kinds of activities you can do. Some people like baking. Some people like cooking. Some people like doing anything. You can go to a movie, find a light comedy that's going to make you laugh. Do something that normally you wouldn't do. And I think that's a real big key to make new family traditions.
Yes. The
next clue, which I think is really good, especially for people who have children, it says guilt is a wasted emotion, so don't feel guilty over your children not having both parents to celebrate with. And it says, heck, they will be having two Christmas celebrations, one with you and one with your ex-spouse. If they come to you and express sadness, don't dismiss their feelings, but do remind them that change can be a good thing, and due to the changes from the divorce, they will now have two Christmas celebrations to look forward to. Who wouldn't enjoy that? And I think that so many times parents worry about what's going to happen on the holidays, and this is a really good approach to take with the children.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's your phrase that you say a lot. I think you said you borrowed it from Dr. Phil, and I may get this wrong, so help me out here. It's better to be from a broken home than in a broken home.
And living in one, right?
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's not uncommon. I mean, you may not know other people that are married to a gay man and going through separation, but you know other people that are going through separation, divorce, and it's not uncommon for families to be separated and children to have two different holidays. Just work it out. Work it out to where that, you know, you celebrate with your side what you want to do, and then they take care of the other side with what they want to do. And really play it up with the children. It's like, hey, you know, you get both of us, just separate times. And if you don't I'm a firm believer, if you treat it natural and you don't make a big deal out of it yourself, your children will accept it more. Now, if you make a big deal out of it, and grumble about it and go on about it in front of the children. Now, you're absolutely able to express your dissatisfaction with it, but just not in front of the children. I would just suggest to make it more natural in front of the children, and I think the children are much more receptive of it that way. Don't you, Bonnie?
I do, and I think that part of making those new traditions, and I mean, this is the reality of it. You know, I know that some of these holidays are really important to people, and you do feel that you want your children with you. You want to be the ones they're with when they wake up in the morning and see the Christmas presents, you know, under the tree. But I think the reality is that in many of our cases, certainly not being in the marriage is a gift in itself, you know, having peace of mind. A lot of times people are feeling, you know, they're missing a tradition that was never that great in their house to start with. I mean, you know, they're fantasizing about, you know, the television kind of Christmas that you see, but it was never the Christmas going on in their homes. You know, they were always walking on eggshells and wondering, you know, when the next outbreak's going to be. So sometimes not having those kinds of pressures, you have to look at it that that's a blessing. And also, if you have to make a new tradition of maybe making your day the day after, you know, having two separate days for Christmas, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you can have a Christmas mom's Christmas and a dad's Christmas. And don't let it be an argument. You can always make the next day your Christmas day. It's just like I know a lot of one family I was talking to today, they have Thanksgiving dinner on the Sunday following Thanksgiving. Now, that's not Thanksgiving Day, but that's their family tradition.
Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't have to be the day that's on the calendar.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I tell people all the time. We get so hung up in the day that's on the calendar. There's several reasons to have it after the holiday. Number one, everything's half price and 75% off if you're in a financial bond. Number two, you know, because it's cheaper. Number two, just go with it. It's a day. Have your own day. It's that peace and that tranquility and that love that you want to put into it. So what if it's not going to be December 24th or 25th? So
right.
What?
And even if your children, I know some of our women were upset because their children are going to be spending the, you know, holidays with their ex-husbands. But, you know, take advantage of that as a day for you. That it's going to be a day when you can just relax and not have to run and jump. You know, try to always take the negatives and try to turn them into something positive like I do. Because if we had to all live in our negatives of life, none of us would survive. You know, we have to always find something to refocus on. So I think that doing that with the children, I know that it is a big issue when you have children, but you have to really try to, you know, rework it a different way. The next one is a tip that you just kind of started on, Misty, when you said, participate in some form of charity work or activity that means doing something for those less fortunate. And you'll be teaching your children a great lesson, and nothing can make our own situation look better than being around those who are in a less favorable situation. And I think that there are so many people who are in need that on a holiday, you know, if you just take one day a year and you volunteer to help feed people who are really in need of food, go to a hospital and try to relieve some of the staff that doesn't want to come in, you know, sit and read to children who are in children's hospitals. And you can really, you know, stop thinking about focusing on you and your misfortune, which no doubt is, you know, very real. But sometimes having that distraction kind of refocuses it for you, and you realize
you need
that there are
break.
People.
Yeah.
Right.
You need a break from your own grief, is what I tell people. And, you know, when you get a break from your own grief, it gives you time to rebuild and what I say call fill your cup. Fill your cup up. And then also, not only do you get a break from your own grief, giving back to others, it's healing as well. That fills your cup as well. So, I mean, you're getting double duty there, you know. You just want to fill up twice as fast, but don't overextend yourself. You know what you can do. Know what you're capable of doing. Don't book yourself, you know, to volunteer 40 hours in 1 week. The week of Christmas. I mean, you know, that's suicide. You know, it's going to drive you crazy and overwhelm you. But, you know, but do find those places. Maybe it could be in a homeless shelter to serve the food. You know, there's lots of people that they count on that they can't normally have because it's a holiday. They may be out of town or things like that, the people that are regular volunteers. So I would suggest if you want to do something during that season, find some type of organization, your local food bank, you know, whether it's sorting food or helping delivering something to people that have shut in, it helps. It gives you a break from your own grief, and you need that. You really do.
Absolutely. And then this next tip, you know, it can't always work, but I think it can work a lot. It says work with your ex-spouse in a cooperative manner. Share with each other the details of what you are buying the children for Christmas and how you'll be celebrating. Christmas really is about the children, and the more you and your ex can work together, the more likely your children will enjoy their holidays. And then it says, the biggest gift you and your spouse can give your children at Christmas and any other time of the year is your survival. If you are able to take lemons and make lemonade of it, it will mean that no matter what the season is, your children will get what they need the most. Two parents who are able to put their children's needs for peace and contentment first. So here is a wishing you a peace on earth and Christmas and every other day of the year. But I think that's so true. You know, sometimes you just get so hung up on our own pain that we fail to see what that's doing to the children. And I always tell the wives, you know, I'd like to validate all of your feelings of anger and any feelings that you're having of frustration and even hatred because, you know, your life in many cases, you know, has totally been turned upside down and you're feeling pretty helpless and hopeless at the moment. But once again, if you need to vent, you can come to our support chat or write to me or write to Misty. But in front of the children, make their dad a hero. Mm-hmm. And I know that takes a lot of work. You know, because as I always said, there were times I wanted to bite my tongue till it was raveling out of my mouth. But but children need to know that their dads are heroes because of the fact that they're made up of two parents, a mother and a father. And no matter how angry you're feeling and how legitimate it is, I'm not telling you not to feel that way. Because believe me, I felt that way for years, but I tried not to bring those feelings, you know, into the whole issue with the children in order for them to grow up more mentally adjusted. So here's some other articles I also came across. That was for really what the children were so. And here's some other things, how to survive your first post-divorce Christmas. And I thought here are some good tips. This one I thought it was really good. Don't worry about what your ex is doing. Obsessing over what he's doing gets in the way of you having a happy Christmas experience. Now, do you think that's true?
Absolutely. That's why you got to get your mind off something. You got to do something different. You have to distract your own mind. If you sit and ruminate, meaning think over and over and over and fill your mind up with your ex-husband and just obsess about what he's doing, it's going to ruin your holiday. And it's taking precious time away from you. So they're not worth that. So that's why you need the distraction. You really, and sometimes you have to, not sometimes, I'm going to say pretty much all the time, you have to plan for distractions that are good for you. You know,
Change the holidays up a little bit. Says, table any anger, regret, or jealousy you may feel due to your divorce. You can bring all those negative feelings out after Christmas. Believe me, they will be there, but you don't need to be messing with your holiday fun. But here it says, you're talking about activities. It says, if you don't have a party to go to, throw your own Christmas party. Host a party where everyone brings a dish or a bottle of wine. That keeps down the work for you and also gives you the opportunity to spend time having a good time, better than focusing on divorce issues. And I think that's so true. I know that when I was first going through the end of my marriage, and I had two little babies at home, and, you know, my husband, I will never forget my ex-husband at that point, walked out. You know, our marriage was ending, and that first week, I surrounded myself constantly around friends and family. You know, I just couldn't give myself time to get into that, you know, deep depression thinking about, you know, what's going to happen to me now. So I kept myself, like, on survival mode, and I constantly had people around me. And that's really what helped me survive that first week, and I can remember it as clearly as it was yesterday, and it was, you know, nearly 30 years ago. So in all those times, you know, I haven't forgotten, you know, that week. And, you know, I think it's just so vital to have that kind of support around you so that you can be distracted.
Absolutely.
And here it says that if you don't like partying, how about going on a vacation? Imagine spending Christmas on a tropical island, lying on a beach with nothing to worry about but your tan lines. If you can't afford a tropical island, visit family who live out of town. It will get you out of your everyday surroundings and the opportunity to spend Christmas with people who will love and support you. And that's going back to my whole point, be around people who really do love and support you. And it says, if your daily life is frantic and chaotic, maybe what you need is some alone time. Divorce is stressful, and add to that stress an overwhelming career and me time may be exactly what you need in order to have a Merry Christmas. Stock up on your favorite foods and beverages and schedule a day at the spa. and indulge in a few extravagant gifts for yourself. And this one says also spend the holiday season volunteering for those less fortunate. Mm-hmm. Nothing does the heart and soul better than giving to those in need. Every community has a homeless shelter, and they are all appreciative of any offer of help. Get outside yourself and your problems and help others deal with their problems. Doing so will help you realize how fortunate you are. So they said the secret to having a happy holiday season post-divorce is distraction. Get out, get busy, and get your mind off the pain caused by your divorce. So do you agree with that?
Absolutely. You have to distract yourself. I mean, if you sit and you continue, if you have too much free time in your mind's going to wander. You're going to, you're so prone to obsess about what's the ex doing or is he having a good time. And it's absolutely going to ruin your own time. So you really have to find healthy ways to distract yourself. And you've gotten lots and lots of good tips tonight. I mean, shake up the routine. Try something different. If you can't find anything, talk to some friends. Find some divorced women. Ask them what they do for the holidays. You know, just, you know, interview some of your friends. What do you do for the holidays? What's fun? And just find something to do and do it.
And I think today is so much easier to get connected than, you know, like when we were growing up. Not
absolutely.
You missing me. But, you know, like I said, when I was growing up, they didn't have support groups and such. Now they have, you know, really good support groups for women in divorce support groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a few of my friends and some of our members, you know, really get into going to meetups, which I think are wonderful
mm-hmm.
for people who want to do stuff. And
mm-hmm.
you can find out about meetups in your area by going to meetup.com. And meetups are groups on any kind of topic and any kind of interest you might have, whether it's going to movies. I have a friend, you know, she practically lives a meetup life now because she joined one group and then joined other groups who had other people in common, and
mm-hmm.
it just led to, like, she's out almost every night now doing all kinds of things, meeting new friends, hosting
mm-hmm.
stuff. You know, they go for wine and cheese, they go out dancing, you know, and like I say, they're people who would otherwise be sitting at home and not connected, and it really is life-changing if you're looking to have that kind of company and you don't know where to find people. Meetup groups are great for that reason.
Absolutely.
And they're in every community, in every neighborhood, and you can start your own by going to meetup.com if you don't have one, but you could look for a group of divorced women, you know, or divorce support. You know, they have, you know, those kind of groups as well. And if you're, like, into the arts, like Miss Diaz, they have all kinds of, you know, people interested in art, in
mm-hmm.
writing, and every kind of interest you can imagine. But I think the main thing is not to allow yourself to fall into a hole so deep that you don't know how to get out or where to start. And that doesn't mean to say that it's going to be a wonderful holiday for you. Nobody's suggesting that. You know, holidays hurt. There's no other way for me to say it but that. Don't you think so?
Yes, holiday. You know, there's been a lot of research that suggests that there's a huge surge of depression during the holidays. I mean, we live in the United States, we live in a very commercialized marketing society, where that, you know, they portray on TV everything's beautiful around the holidays, all the commercials, all the you know, the jewelry commercials showing engagement rings and everyone loved up, you know. But reality is, holiday time is a huge surge of depression, huge. But that's not shown in marketing, because, you know, of course the company is not going to be able to sell something if they're showing a depressed bunch of people. So, you know, it's very unfortunate because I think it distorts our reality, and we have such a expectation for ourselves to not feel depressed or feel sad. But you're right. I mean, these suggestions are not going to make your holidays perfect. Is it going to help? Yeah, it's going to take a little bit of that, you know, that distraction should help you to cope. So it's going to be it's going to be like a little bag of coping skills. Is it going to make
mm-hmm.
it perfect? No. Is it going to still hurt? Yes. You're going to have those down moments. But pick yourself up and keep up with the plan. You know, the reality is it's not going to be a perfect holiday.
And I don't know if it'll ever be perfect again. You know, I think, you know, everybody has different coping methods and different coping strategies. And I think my best coping strategy is just to ignore things. You know, I feel better when I'm not really, you know, I was able to get through a number of holidays, you know, just by ignoring they were even there.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't fall into it. And, you know, life just kept going. It kept centered, kept busy with my job. You know, kept busy doing a lot of different things.
Right.
And, you know, I just kind of let the holidays pass me by. And that was okay, too. Because we all have, you know, holidays that we wouldn't, you know, are not necessarily going to be comfortable. And whether this is your first holiday or post-divorce kind of holiday season, or even in 5 or 10 years from now, you know, there's a lot of pain that goes through us because a lot of times these situations aren't over. And a lot of our women are still coping with them year in and year out. And they're still going through a lot of emotional changes because of the reactions of, you know, the divorce aspect and, you know, how they're being treated in the interim and making so many adjustments. So it could be painful not only in the beginning, so we don't want to underestimate the fact that, you know, this can be a process just like gay husband recovery is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a year. I mean, some people it takes 10 years. Some people it's 20 years later and they still have moments when they get raw. But it is better. I mean, you have to let go of some things just because time itself makes some things fade.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, life does go on, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to hurt at certain times, right?
Absolutely. It's natural to experience those peaks and valleys. That's what's going to happen. You just don't want to stay in a valley of depression too long to where you become stuck. So, I mean, it is going to peak and it is going to valley. That's just the reality of it. Going through holidays are not easy. Going through separation is not easy. And to compound all of that, being, you know, discovering that you were married with someone that's gay, trying to work through that, it's not easy. So you get a lot of things thrown at you at once. You know, holidays and dealing with, you know, what ifs or why wasn't it this way? Why couldn't it have been that way? You know, just grieving the past because it feels like a lie, the future because you don't know what's going on, and the present just to try to get through. It's not going to be easy. So that's why it's so important to reach out and make those plans. Because if you make a plan and you hold yourself accountable with someone or someone else, about something that you're going to do, you're more apt to follow through with it. If you follow through with it, you're going to be much better than not doing anything. Unless you're the type of person that's so busy and doesn't take time at all for themselves, and if you took a little time to yourself just for a break, you know, that might be helpful. But just be really careful about being completely by yourself and isolating yourself, because I think isolation can be a little bit dangerous sometimes when it comes to the grieving process and the holidays. I think it just can really compound the depression with my experience of working with people. So really know yourself and know what helps you. And everyone's unique. So know what your unique individual
needs
are.
Well, don't be afraid to go for help if you find yourself having really bad thoughts. You know,
absolutely.
You have to get past that because, you know, it is a time that people have a tendency to fall into a dark hole and have a really difficult time keeping up with that because of the fact that, you know, it's a holiday that visually, you know, it's all over the place. It's not like, you know, it's happening somewhere but not in your town. It's happening everywhere. The music is playing on every station. I mean, I know just about every Christmas song that everybody else knows, and it's not even my holiday, but I know those songs, and I'm singing them all the time, and I'm thinking, why am I singing these Christmas songs all the time? But, you know, the fact is, you know, it's not something that anyone can escape, and even if it's not your religion, it's still the time of year that represents family togetherness, family unity, family happiness. But I do tell women this. I say, here's your reality. Was last Christmas a happy Christmas? Was the Christmas before a happy Christmas? When's the last time you had a happy Christmas? You know, and in so many cases, it's been a very long time. So if you're not having that same kind of Christmas, you have to kind of look at it. Well, at least, you know, it's a different kind of Christmas, and it has to be better than it's been.
Absolutely.
You know, and a lot of it depends on women themselves, you know. All of us are in different stages of life and where we are. And I was having this conversation earlier today with someone that in this country, we have to feel very blessed that we have the ability to walk away from a marriage without having tremendous, you know, horrors coming about as a result of it. There are other countries, you know, across the world where you're married and that's it. It's not an option. You're stuck with what you get.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter whether you get a good husband, a bad husband, a gay husband, a straight husband. You can get someone who's brutal to you, who, you know, can attack you sexually and there's nothing you can do about it. You can get someone who's abusive to you and there's nothing you can do about it. So at least here we're able to make up our minds and make a move no matter how hard it is, because we may be stuck in that muck, but eventually you can walk out the door without having to fear that some government official is going to come and have you arrested for it.
Right.
You know, so we have that, you know, ability to move on. And the fact that it's frightening and it's scary, yeah, it's all of those things. But I don't know, Misty, I still feel in my heart that it's scarier living in a horrible situation. I'm that selfish for myself. You know, I'm going to admit, I'm not one to stay in a bad situation. I've been that selfish for myself, regardless of my self-esteem issues, you know, that I just never wanted to have to suffer more than I had to suffer.
Absolutely.
But some women just don't give up. You know, they just keep fighting and fighting for something that won't get any better.
Mm-hmm. It's so broken. But, you know, I was one of those women, I have to say. I was one of those women living that chaos. And I tried to get divorced 3 years before I finally went through with it. I just didn't have the nerve, the courage to do it. And I kept dancing so hard inside that circle of crazy, thinking I could fix, or it would be fixed, it would resolve, it would get better. I mean, basically, it was my own form of denial. I knew deep down there was no getting better. The reality was it continued to get worse. It continued to get more abusive. All the negatives continued to escalate. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just was not pretty. It was not a pretty situation. It was a very dangerous situation. So, you know, that's why it's so important early on to get the support, because if nothing else, they're a sounding board for you to run things across, to say things to this person you can trust. And if there's no one you can trust, you know, hire a professional. I'm a strong, of course, I am a therapist, but, I mean, make use of the resources you can. Because let me tell you, it would have been worth everything I had if I would have done that in the beginning. I didn't do it. I kept relying on myself. I kept relying on, oh, it's going to get better. I kept living on the hope for tomorrow was going to be better. My tomorrow never came.
Well, that's the problem. It never will come.
Exactly.
Which, you know, takes me over to that last thing I wanted to talk about for our show tonight, that I want to let women know there was a very good article in the New York Times today, that in the Sunday Review, that will really give you something to think about. And I'm not necessarily saying pro or con, but I just wanted to read it to our listeners. And it's called Keeping Marital Secrets Closed. And if you would like a copy of this, you can write to me at bondk@aol.com, or you can look up nytimes.com, My Gay Husband. And this came out today, and it's by an author, Jane Isay. And it says, this summer, soon after gay marriage became legal in New York, my sons held a wedding for my former husband and his partner of over 30 years. The grandchildren were flower girl and ring bearers. The wedding thrust me back to the time when we faced a terrible choice and decided to stay married for the children. That's what motivated my then husband and me to carry on our incomplete marriage for its last 9 years. And that's how we explained our actions after the divorce. It was a convenient truth and also a self-serving one. The year was 1980. I was waiting for my husband of 15 years to return from the last party of the psychiatry convention. I could hear voices from down the hall, happy men enjoying their time together. When he came in, his face was grave. He sat down on the bed and said, I have something I need to tell you. He took a deep breath. I'm homosexual. That moment, I saw my future collapse before my eyes. I got the chills and ran to take a hot bath. It gave me time to think and warm me, but not for long. We spent the night talking and lamenting. On the plane home, we held each other and sobbed and planned. By the time we landed, we had decided to keep his sexual orientation a secret and stay married for the sake of the children. Of course, we both wanted to protect our sons, who were 10 and 14. Divorce was not uncommon then, but the circumstances surrounding our relationship were controversial and would have created a scandal in our small university town. So staying married for the children helped us both feel better about ourselves and our lives. Not lives, but lies. We thought they didn't notice any change, but we were mistaken. Secrets have a way of seeping into the atmosphere. Kids are natural observers. They watch parents like hawks, and they know when something is wrong, even if they don't know what. I desperately wanted the charade to work at home, and we were doing this for the children. So covering for my husband on his 2 nights a week out and his 2 vacations a year became second nature. He was a busy man with many meetings. I paid the price for my silence with my closest friends because a secret of this magnitude builds barriers. I just couldn't bear to show them the spot I was in, and I was leery of the advice. When I felt so alone, I could always remind myself what a good person I was being, sacrificing for the children. The other reasons for staying married were not so charming. If I had thought, I'm staying for the money, I might have questioned the lies I told my sons about where their father was on the nights he spent with his future husband. Or if he had thought, I'm staying to promote my career as a psychoanalyst, he might have felt a little heavy on the ambition scale. Or if we both had realized that we were just too scared to face the world alone, I might have given up some of pretending, and he might have realized the gravity of his original secret. But never mind, we had an explanation that made people admire us when we finally went public. Other truths might have evoked pity or suspicion. What's the matter with her radar? How could she accept a half marriage instead of a whole one? Who is she, really? To say we stayed married for the children put an end to the uncomfortable questions. If I had faced the other reasons to stay in the marriage, the burden of our lives would probably have been harder to bear. But the burden on our sons might also have been lightened. It's not so great for kids to be told they're the cause of their parents' behavior, especially when it's only part of the story. When they finally learned the truth, our sons were more disturbed by our deception than by the facts. Our reasons didn't seem to matter anymore. Truth trumps lies every time. The phrase, we stayed married for the children, is like a silk duvet on a complicated and imperfect marriage bed. Nobody really wants to turn back the covers, the unhappy spouses least of all. And she's the author of Walking on Eggshells. So what do you think about that, Misty?
Very interesting. You know,
I thought some of the comments that came up were interesting. I'll read you a few of the comments, and then you can comment on the comments. How's that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, this one says, there's a lot of praise and blame being hurled about this piece. This hit me especially hard. It's not so great for the kids to be told they're the cause of their parents' behavior, especially when it's only part of the story. To me, this sets up a terrible and false truth. It's better to tell everybody everything than it is to blame your kids. I don't think the boys in the story were ever the cause of their parents' behavior. They were, in fact, the unwitting participants in a series of decisions by the writer and her ex-husband. Labeling them as the cause, all other reasons aside, strikes me as yet another twist on the truth. How much simpler and more truthful it might have been simply to say, we decided to stay married for many reasons. Many reasons not only covers varying concerns with finances, community, career, and yes, adolescents, boys' reaction to a father's homosexuality, it also puts the onus for the outcome, good or bad, on the adults. That was one comment.
Wow, that's an interesting comment.
This one says, a courageous article. You could have simply presented this story as my gay husband came out as gay and we stayed together because of our commitment to family and our vows, but gradually realized this was impossible. Now our kids embrace both their mom and dad. This would have been a perfectly acceptable story and indeed one people expect, but instead you told the truth. Truth is always courageous, especially when it touches on marriage, an institution that's often so difficult. Its participants often semi-hysterically lie, delude, and self-deceive in order to continue, and self-deceive more in creating retrospect. Children know so much more than we think. Our puppet show may work for the outside world, but it is patently obviously on the inside. I thought I had successfully hidden my misery from my children and stayed married in a hugely dysfunctional and abusive marriage for over a decade. My ex was a closeted gay man, but that was only part of it. Every time my sister would visit, she would say, I don't know how you can live here. It's horrible. You can't even breathe. I pretended to not know what she was talking about and was insulted, but my kids certainly did. Rather than believe we had the happy family I presented to the world, my children absorbed the misery and secrecy deep down, only they couldn't process it. The damage is huge over a decade later. Basically, the biggest damage that they learned is not to trust the evidence of their own senses and to think of quite quiet brutality as normal and to think their own needs as unimportant. It impacts their choice of partners, their life choices and careers, their ability to function. In weighing the decision whether to divorce, I should have taken all of that into account. If you realize you're staying out of fear, comfort, social class, etc., it's easier to decide what to do. A marriage becomes much less justifiable when you're sacrificing your children for your own comfort and your own needs. What do you think of that?
Well, I think all these comments have very, very valid points, very good points of view, very good opinions. And, you know, I keep going back to a phrase in the article you read, how secrets have a way of, getting into the atmosphere or something was the words used. And they do. I mean, secrets are toxic. And I don't care how old your children are, if they're young, they eventually pick up on something's not just right. And I just, secrets are too hard on everybody, you know.
I'm really impressed with, like, so many of these comments. I'll read you a few more. The honesty of this piece is really admirable. Good for you, Miss I say. I'm sure you were a good parent in many other ways that compensated for the error. One says, secrets and lies in families are a bad idea. The parents' good intentions here of staying together are obvious, and so are the reasons for the children's reactions. It doesn't feel good to know you were living in a home that was with a lie for several years. My guiding divorce principle was to do for myself what I want my kids to do when they find themselves in my situation. I wanted to be a role model. Unlike this caring family, many parents get divorced and allow their hate and anger for their spouses to take precedence over their love for their children, and in the process harm their kids by bad-mouthing the other parent. My divorce was by no means smooth, but it feels good to get along with my ex. He and I and our three daughters look forward all year to the summer vacation we take together. A win-win-win-win situation. And here's another one. Compulsory heterosexuality hurts everyone. It forces people into the closet, denying them their sexuality and hurting everyone involved. That one's more about homosexuality. This says, is this any worse than all the couples who stay together after affairs and other betrayals or other relationships that lack intimacy? Every relationship has its dance. There are a lot of looking the other way. Staying for the kids is but one reason we trick ourselves into accepting the status quo. Here it says, what a great article. My mother and father faced the same situation during the late 1970s. They did divorce, but my mother told us the reason why by 1980. We were 14, 13, and 11 years old at the time. We told no one that my father was gay. You really didn't tell anyone. It wasn't talked about, nor was it socially acceptable. The consequences of their choice, however, was that my father moved halfway across the U.S., creating an emotional and physical void for us children. He sent child support, but that was the only support I received from him. I was often angry with him for leaving us, but now as an adult I realize that I may not have been entirely his choice. It may have been an ultimatum for my mother to spare us any gossip about my father. But at the same time, it gave him a freedom that my mother didn't get with the day-to-day dramas of raising three teenagers. It was unfortunate, but understandable at the same time. I know in order to protect your children and perhaps yourselves, you made the choices you did. That's what my parents did. They thought the distance would protect everyone. You and your husband thought the cover of marriage would protect everyone. Notice I am not judging. I am identifying with the need to protect ourselves and loved ones and sometimes blinding ourselves from the truth. Sometimes adults make things much more complicated than they need to be. I do agree that truth trumps lies any time. I am an adult now. My father passed a few years ago. I am proud of his accomplishments, and he seemed well-loved by a surrogate family on the West Coast. I'm glad of that. I just wish I could have been part of that, too. So there's a lot of comments here, and they bring up a lot of interesting points. So once again, if you're interested in this article, you can email me at bondk@AOL, and I'll be happy to send you a copy of it, and you can read all the comments about it. But I think Misty and I pretty much agree with, you know, the sentiments here. about keeping secrets in the family, Miss Faye.
Yeah, it can be so damaging. And, you know, and the sad part is the intention for most of these secrets are for protection. So I'm not trying to throw everyone under the bus, that they're starting out with ill intentions and on a mission to hurt someone. That's just really not how it is. I think these secrets are, you know, it's decided upon for whatever reasons, but the bottom line is the secrets are decided upon usually for protection of the people, the very people that you love and care about. And unfortunately, sometimes that's not how a secret works. It's for protection. It usually backfires on you. So just be careful when and if you explore that route to go there. I really don't suggest it. And I'm not suggesting either that you have to, everyone has to know all the details, that you don't have to go to that extreme either. But there are a happy medium ground, especially, you know, when there's a couple that's getting along, like the story that you read, enough to, you know, go forward in a different direction. You know, it's wonderful if you can get a couple that, you know, before they divorce or decide to separate, whatever it may be, that are getting along and are cooperative with each other. And that's just wonderful for the children and everyone involved. People are still going to be hurt, but it's much less painful, you know, when you've got someone you can work with.
Well, so I just think that, you know, any kind of lies, eventually, like, you know, these kids say, they know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like they're totally unaware of what's happening. And then you always feel divided. I know that I felt that way. I have straight parents who were, you know, always in the midst of fighting. And always somehow waiting to thinking that we're asleep and then blaming the kids. You know, it inevitably always comes back to the kids when you can't internalize the blame yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we always felt guilty that we are keeping our parents miserable. And I think it's so true that children know so much more than parents ever imagine. And then when I have women who tell me that, you know, the kids never know anything's wrong because they are good actresses, nobody's that good of an actress.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly. And children are very intuitive. I think people fail to recognize that, meaning they're like, they can pick up on so many little things. Just because they don't have the ability to verbalize it like an adult does not mean they're not picking up on stuff. So always remember that. They're picking up on these things. They may not can verbalize it back to you exactly what they're picking up. They're picking up on it. So they're very intuitive little creatures. They know what's going on around them. That's how they survive. They know their surroundings. Of course, they need help to survive from an adult. But they know their surroundings, and they know when things are different. So,
well, that's why I always tell, and I'm really glad they brought up that point in the article, because this is what I tell all my women. You know, if you have a daughter, if you have a sister, if you have a best friend, would you want them living in a marriage like the marriage you have? And if the answer is no, then you need to leave your marriage, because you shouldn't expect anything less for yourself than you want for somebody else that you love. You have to love yourself enough to make, you know, that decision to be, like that other article said, be a role model to your family.
Absolutely.
So I think that's why it's so great to hear all of those, you know, comments in there reflecting everything that you and I say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's some great points of view there.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to copy sounds on those points of view.
Mm-hmm.
I won't even steal them because I feel like they're mine anyway. But anyway, Misty, I just wanted to tell all of our listeners that we hope that they have a wonderful week, and to remember that next week, Patsy Ray will be with us talking about, you know, the Christian point of view on this.
Mm-hmm.
And also, for women who are listening, I'm going to be in Texas in March. So if you're in Texas and you'd like to get together with me, and Patsy is also getting together with me and some other wonderful Texas women or women from the surrounding area, please write to me at bondk@aol.com. That's for the first weekend in March, and I'll send you more details. So, Misty, it was a great night, and I'm glad that you're in the middle of nowhere. When are you ever getting home?
I am. I love being in the middle of nowhere, so... It's okay. I know some people don't, and I think I'm talking to one of those people right now, but I love it sometimes. I really do.
Yeah, I like being in the middle of my bedroom, like I am now. But are you going to be in Kentucky by tomorrow?
I will, my great state. Absolutely. I will be there tomorrow.
How long are you going to be staying there?
About a week.
Okay. Well, you have a wonderful time.
Thank you.
And we'll be looking forward to talking to you next Sunday. Will you still be in Kentucky then?
No, maybe back. I don't know. Possibly. It would be nice, possibly. If not, I'll be from the great state of Florida. It's great, too.
All right. Well, either way, well, I'll talk to you next week and have a wonderful week. And you can sign
Thank
off first to all our listeners.
Good night and love to all, and everyone have a beautiful week.
Same here. Have a wonderful week. And if you need any support, bonk@aol.com or mistylynhall@aol.com. All right, good everybody. Good night.
Bye-bye.